Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. As an accessibility advocate and fan of educational technology, I'm always on the hunt for the newest technology tool to support learners. Recently, I came across Stickity, a free add-on that works within Google Docs and Google Slides. Stickity uses digital stickers to provide increased support for all students, including English language learners and students with disabilities. Today, we're going to be talking to Lauren Heil, the creator of Stickity. Lauren and I talk about how she came to design Stickity, the different graphics and animations that exist within the stickers, and how these digital stickers can increase accessibility, decrease teacher workload, develop classroom routines, and help students find success while working on assignments. We also discuss the importance of considering design when creating instructional materials for the classroom, especially when it comes to being inclusive. If you're interested in trying out Stickity after listening to this episode, please check the show notes for the direct links. But let's dive right in to hear more. Hello, and welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. I'm here today with Lauren Heil, the creator of Stickity, the free add-on for Google Docs and Slides, and includes digital stickers that are designed with inclusivity and accessibility, which is right up my alley. So I'm so excited to talk about it. Thank you so much, Lauren, for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
And I do have to say, I came across you and Stickity through the Google Innovator Forum and that community because you were part of the Sweden 2019 cohort, and I'm the virtual VIA 20 cohort, which actually, now I think about it, is probably the back-to-back.
Yeah, mine was the last in-person Innovator Academy, and then COVID hit like 3 months afterwards, which made everyone's projects very interesting.
Oh, I'm sure that changed a lot of people's projects.
Yeah. And in really cool ways too.
We were the opposite. It was virtual. I was like, okay, I don't have to travel now. I mean, that was disappointing, I guess, because I wanted to be able to go travel somewhere, but it's interesting to see how the pandemic has really influenced everybody's projects overall.
Yeah. You probably used the term pivot all the time in your Academy. That was just the word for our academy as well, because it's just the whole world changed right after we all had, you know, brainstormed these projects that we were really passionate about.
That was definitely a big one. I mean, even non-related to COVID, I feel like this project pivoted like 1,000 times, over exaggerating, but at least a couple of different times. It went through so many different iterations before coming onto the podcast. So it's been a journey.
Keeps it interesting.
So I wanted to talk to you about your new add-on. What inspired you to design and develop Stickity for Docs and Slides?
So it started as my innovator project. This wasn't the exact project that I was creating. What I was picturing was something that would just completely build lesson materials for teachers, which is really difficult to create. But also I found that teachers really enjoy autonomy over what they're creating. And so when you're making something for them, it just takes away some of that joy of teaching. And I always loved making my own materials. So I sort of switched to think about what would teachers use that also left their creative autonomy as part of that lesson planning process. And so digital stickers wound up being the solution there. What I was doing prior to the Google Innovator Academy was thinking about design and how that impacted the way that students interacted with materials in my classroom. And honestly, it really didn't start as thinking about accessibility from the get-go for that, but it very quickly turned into that. Because what I was finding was if I was thoughtful about the way I was designing materials, then all of a sudden I was hitting all of these IEP requirements or accommodations for multilingual learners or 504s or all of that stuff, just by incorporating certain design elements into what I was creating. I should probably also say too, prior to teaching, I was a graphic designer and art director. So that's where a lot of this comes from, is that world in graphic design, and I worked in advertising. So what I picked up and learned there really applied to what I was in the classroom too. So it started with these icons that I created for class, and I would put them up on, you know, the presentation that was up on the screen, and I would put it in their materials too. And I would start to really think about, okay, what am I saying too often? Like, what am I finding myself repeating that I am tired of repeating, frankly, or that clearly me just saying something isn't enough for every student. So I need to reinforce my communication somehow. And so I started thinking about all of those things, and I just built this library of graphics that really helped my own class materials. And then I just had to find out how to share that with teachers so that it didn't add to the work that they were doing, but just enhanced or made it a little bit faster what they were doing. And an add-on was the solution there.
And that's a really great solution, because as I was going through some of your sticker examples, which I'm going to talk about later, I was thinking about like how when I was teaching in the resource room, I would have like the icon for like the headphones or no headphones. Like, can you start class and just plug in your headphones and independently go? Or do you need to wait for me to give like, you know, a 5 talk about what we're doing before you jump in? So I was like, oh, these would have been perfect. Like, I'm like pasting the icon everywhere. And that would have been so much better for all that self-paced independent work that they were doing, is to have those things immediately there for them.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to explain this well enough, but there's something about the screen saying it versus me saying it. It feels less of a battle, you know? And like, if it was up on the screen, it's part of our environment now, and it's not me just constantly telling kids that they can't have their headphones in right now, like for your example, or that they can't talk to a friend right now or whatever. There was something that just felt a little bit nicer for everyone when it was up on the board and not just coming out of my mouth all the time.
I think that's definitely true. I mean, like, it's one thing to have to be like, okay, well, yeah, you can't work in partners for this activity. Then it becomes like a, well, why? Yes. Why can't I work in partners? It's like, oh, well, nope, it's on the screen.
The screen's telling you.
But listen to that. It'll be all good.
Yeah.
I was always repeating myself. I think that's a battle everybody's experiencing.
I don't know the science behind it, but it worked.
It's so helpful. I was like, this is genius. This is what everybody really needs.
So that's where it kind of started for me. And then thinking about, you know, how do I actually create something that teachers can interact with? Do I want it to be a separate tool? I'm a big believer that there is such a thing as too many tools that you're using in class or that you're using to build your materials. So I really wanted to make it something that's just part of what they're already using. And so the add-on was the automatic solution there for sure. And then being able to use what I learned when I was teaching computer science, because that's what I taught, middle school computer science, being able to use that to create something was really fun and really cool.
I think the add-on is a great idea because, yeah, there are so many things out there like, you know, oh, there's this website, there's this, but again, add-on is like nicely hidden away in docs and slides that you're already using in your classroom anyway. So it's like, you don't even have to think about it. Like, you can just click and it's right there, which is really nice. It makes it easy to use.
Yeah, for sure.
So can you describe what types of stickers are currently available? I know you said you use like your graphic design background to design all these icons. And I know from looking there, like, there are so many options.
Well, I'll tell you about the sticker libraries. There's far less of those. But so there's 8 different libraries, a little bit different depending on if you're using docs or slides, because you can use it in both, because we use docs differently than the way we use slides, right? So you're going to need different styles of graphics. So for all of them, there is the expectations library. That's all your icons, right? Of, you know, we're silent right now or working in groups or whatever. And then the content support. So that's really the instructions that you don't want to say a million times. So paste your link here or type here, or just helping students interact with whatever the content is without removing rigor from what you're asking them to do, because that's a big one too. I didn't want to make things easier. I just wanted to reduce the barriers to actually accessing that content, right? There is a feedback library. So, you know, if you're getting into a student work that they've created, you can insert like, this is amazing. Or my favorite one is IDK is not okay. I got that all the time on questions IDK. But so there's all these different feedback stickers. So some that are suggesting things like check your punctuation, just the things that you find yourself saying a lot. We have, so buttons, that's one of my favorites. So it's just, they're just graphics, really. They don't do much, but you can hyperlink them to whatever you need. And where I think buttons really come in handy is when you're creating something for parents. So say that it's the beginning of the year and you want them to be able to access all these different resources. These buttons, like, they're labeled, they have a little icon for them. Great for parents. I taught in a community where a lot of parents didn't speak English either. And so having that icon next to it would be super helpful. We have steps and levels. So, you know, just your processes that you want to be really loud about in class. Where I found, like, the big steps graphics were the most helpful was my students on the ASD spectrum. They really found those big, loud, clear, crisp steps to be, they reduced anxiety for them. And it felt more manageable when they were broken up into those little chunks. So I loved using steps for that, but frankly, they're helpful for everybody. So all your different differentiation pieces. In Docs, there's a borders library. So being really loud about where we're stopping or where we're starting and all of that, where your instructions are, that visual chunking is huge. And I was just working on a TikTok actually talking about visual chunking and how to use that in class. And, you know, it's a great support for a lot of students with IEPs, but it's also just a support for everybody. Like, it just makes it easier to navigate through class materials when you are chunking out information that way. The Slides add-on has a timer library. So it's all these different timer videos that you can put in or timer icons just so students know what to expect. And then I put in some fun and games ones. So, like, you know, welcome or congratulations. There's some confetti, some sparkles, you know, all the fun stuff that we like to add to our slide decks.
I love all those options. I like what you said about how it's removing the barrier, we're not removing the rigor, which I think is so important, because a lot of people tend to jump to removing some of the rigor from the assignment as opposed to, like, chunking and breaking down the assignment. And it's like, no, like, the students can do it. They just need these supports.
Yeah.
So I think that this is great for that, because I did so much work with self-paced because, you know, I had to get through with, like, every other special ed teacher, you have to get through the curriculum that everybody else is getting through, but they have their individual goals and their individual needs. And it's like, well, how do I do both? So it was so much self-paced work that I'm like, this would have been perfect, especially those steps and like highlighting where those are, because that was always a challenge. Like, I have to, like, color code it. And I'm like, that's not, like, enough. Like, I need something else. So, like, I like that there's, like, stickers.
They're big and they're loud. And the steps, especially. So I have simple steps and then just some numbers and letters for labeling and all of that. And all of them were designed to go with the Google color palette. So you can automatically find the exact blue of step one and the exact yellow of step two. And it all kind of goes together, which is aesthetically pleasing, but also helpful.
I love that color coding. And just because I'd always be pulling my color picker because I'm like, it has to be the right shade. So I like that it's already done for me. That's, like, one less thing I have to do.
Totally.
So you talked a little bit about this already when you were discussing some of the stickers, but what elements of Stickity do you find specifically helpful for making things accessible for students who are classified with a disability?
So, you know, not that being a multilingual learner is a disability, but the graphics and the way that the stickers show while they're also telling. So, you know, if it's a sticker about reviewing, it's kind of showing, like, the arrows, like, kind of circling backwards, and it animates the idea of what you're communicating. So just that alone is a huge support for anyone who's learning English, right? But then anyone who experiences a disability, every single sticker, when you insert it into Docs and Slides, it has alt text automatically inserted. So if a student uses a screen reader, that's going to just automatically read that for them, which is a huge support. And honestly, it's something that I don't find, and not just teachers, anyone doing very often, is inserting alt text. And sticking with the vision disabilities, or if there's someone who's maybe doesn't need a screen reader, but it's low vision, so maybe they're colorblind or just need a higher contrast. So every single thing that you would insert from Stickity meets the WCAG guidelines that a web designer would use to make sure that a website is accessible. So there's all these rules out there for creating accessible materials for people to use. So if it's your business or if it's an app or something like that, if you make money off of it, you know that you need to create something that's accessible for everyone to use. I think and believe that student materials should be the exact same way, you know, but teachers are already doing a million jobs. And so expecting them to also be this designer that is, you know, well-versed in all the accessibility rules and user interface rules out there is unreasonable. And so creating something that does it for them is really what I wanted to do. But just the fact that stickers, like using those same graphics over and over again, creates this sense of stability and consistency that any student that experiences anxiety, or I mentioned students on the ASD spectrum, that predictability is huge for feeling successful in class. And that can be the barrier that prevents them from accessing classwork that day, is feeling like they don't know how they're going to do that, or that they already feel like they can't if there's too much on a page or something like that. And so thinking about supporting anyone who experienced that immediate anxiety when they're handed an assignment or when they pull it up on their screen, how stickers can kind of affect that or improve that. My lovely little ADHD, wonderful students, those little animations that just get you right back on track if you had a squirrel moment. and that's all of us, right?
Yes.
Sometimes.
That is true.
So having the little animations there, it's not going to distract you necessarily, but it's going to catch your eye to pay attention to something that's really important. And then those timers for disabilities that experience anxiety, or that I taught a lot of students of trauma too. Mm-hmm. And so these timers that I was using in class, and I was the teacher who needed to use timers. Like I would go over to a table and start talking to them about their weekend and half of my class would be over. So I needed the timers more than the kids needed the timers, but the timers that I was using were either like crazy music in the background, so I would turn the music off and then now they're not effective anymore. Or they would have these unbelievably loud alarms at the end. And like, I felt like half of them were police sirens. Mm-hmm. And so that would be so start, like kids would jump when the timer would go off. And for a lot of kids, that's no big deal. And they can just move on in class. But some of my students, that would just set them onto this track of opting out and just choosing not to do classwork that day because they're recovering from being startled, because their brain works a little bit different than ours, you know? And so the timers that I created, I wanted to make sure there was no crazy music in the background, that they didn't start with an ad. Because being a middle school teacher, if you're starting with an ad, you are taking a risk.
Yes.
I just didn't want it to start with an ad. And I wanted the timer to show progression of time. So for example, the 3-minute timer has 3 flowers that grow over those 3 minutes. So you can kind of see how much time that you have left visually too. And then at the end, you can hear the timer going off, but it is gentle. It's not something that anyone's going to be jumping out of their seats or not be able to recover from. So that was a really important piece that I wanted to include too.
I appreciate that, because you're right. I think all the timers that I would just find on YouTube, like they were like silent for the whole thing and I'd have the timer up, and then it would be like, it sounded almost like the fire alarm, which my kids hated to begin with. We would have meltdowns every time there was a fire drill for some of them. And I'm like, this is not helping anybody.
I know. It's not. Yeah. And you need a timer. You need a timer.
Yes. I was the same way. I needed a timer, because otherwise I'm getting off on a tangent talking about something else while I'm working in a small group. And I'm like, no. We're doing station rotation. I need to move me.
That's a lot of the feedback that I've gotten, is especially the folks that do a lot of small group really appreciate a good timer.
You need to have one. And I like the fact that it's so gentle, which is great for everybody. It's not super distracting or intimidating. I also really appreciate the alt text, because I know, like, that's something I'm always trying to like preach to people, but it's a challenge because you have so many images when you're creating things to now have to think about that. So I like that that's done, and that's, the teachers don't have to worry about it at all.
It's hard to tell people who are already so busy. So mm-hmm. any teacher, it's so hard to give them one more thing to do, even if it's the absolute right thing to do. It's really difficult to add one more thing. And it just, like, you feel for them. You're still teaching, right?
I moved into technology now. I'm still in a district. I'm not in the classroom anymore.
So we both know you could be telling me the answer to all my problems, but if it meant adding extra hours of work for me, then I would choose not to do it sometimes because I'm just trying to get through the week.
And that's totally understandable. I mean, I've seen a lot of people who are like, okay, now I have to go in and add alt text to all these images. I'm just going to take some of the images away. And it's like, well, now you can just freely add them and you know that that accessibility is there. You don't have to worry about it. There's so much, especially now in classrooms, there's so much more being piled on. It's nice to take one thing off the plate and still have it be accessible. So how specifically, I know you talked about different ways that these stickers are being used instructionally, but how have you seen the digital stickers be used to support either the encouragement of a routine or just providing instruction in general for students in the classroom?
So it's pretty new still. It's blown up over the last probably 2 weeks. I had 800 installs and then all of a sudden I have almost like 400,000. Now I'm sure there's a lot that I just haven't seen yet because I just haven't seen people using it a ton, but I know that they are. But a couple that I've seen is they're really excited about just the attention getters, like a little arrow to help students see something, or the steps, especially, like, you know, teachers love explicit instructions. And so I think that's the biggest one that I've seen a ton of. I worked in a charter school that was very focused on consistency from classroom to classroom. So the icons have been a really important piece there, just supporting classroom management. So not necessarily even the biggest focus being on accessibility, but mainly being able to communicate those expectations to every single kid. But yeah, I haven't seen a ton of examples yet. I want to see them. I wish they would show me.
Oh, I'm sure there are a bunch. I can only imagine how many different ways teachers are using it, but the explicit instruction is really great. There's so many students that require that accommodation or modification in their IEP, like breaking down the steps of an assignment, and like bullet points are just so ugly. Like, not to be like, you know, it's not aesthetically pleasing about it, but I'm like, oh, like it's great because it chunks, but it's like not great to look at. So having those graphics is really nice.
Aesthetically pleasing matters.
Yes.
Just like, you know, back to the things that people pay for, right? A website or an app or a game or whatever. If it looks bad, people won't use it. And so if you think that students don't have the exact same reaction to what you have presented them for doing in class that day, you're nuts. If it looks kind of well done and well put together, they trust it. There is research that backs that, I promise. But there is science that says, like, if it is aesthetically pleasing, someone, one, trusts it, and two, is going to stick with it longer. There's another study that shows that they'll stick with whatever the task is that they're trying to complete a little bit longer if it looks like it's doable. So it matters.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it does. That's a good point. I'm thinking now, even back to, I was in classrooms where the teacher just pushed out like a doc, and it was just a doc with a question on top, and the kids were like, ah. But then like you look at it, like even just like something simple, like highlighting and color coding the directions, and it's adding a text box and adding a couple things here and there. Like, it looks like the teacher put more effort into putting it out. And so they're like, oh, okay. Like, this looks like an assignment that's, you know, a little more accessible than just like one question written on top of a Google Doc.
One of my funniest little, so I taught middle school for a while and then I moved to high school for 1 year and then the pandemic hit. And anyway, but so I was teaching high school computer science and it was a class of seniors. And one of the kids raised his hand and goes, I just want to tell you that this looks really great. I was being observed that day. So I looked at my instructional coach who was sitting in my classroom and I said, write that down.
Perfect timing. it shows how much they care. They care what it looks like.
They know, they do notice. And that kid telling me that's not always going to happen, right? They do notice when it looks a little bit more thoughtful and well put together and therefore trustable. And that's what you want.
Yeah, that's very true. My background was middle school, so they're brutally honest. So as soon as I saw it, all like the graphics and everything, I was like, oh, I could see my students. They would have been so happy just to see this. And they would have said that because they're honest.
Yeah. And they love little stickers too.
When we moved
to like e-school during the pandemic, we were a Microsoft school and they were using Teams and they're inserting like all the little stickers that were on Teams. They loved it. It brings joy. It's fun.
It does. It does. We were a meet school. So when the reactions came up for meet, or like I showed them how to do like the emojis keyboard and it was great. We would do read alouds and they would like put their emoji reactions in the comments. So they love all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All ages.
Yes.
So I did want to talk about the animation specifically. I had so many students who had ADHD and really needed some of that redirecting and refocusing, some of it being myself included. You mentioned the one that looks kind of like an arrow, kind of in directing students back to the task at hand. What other types of animation do you include in your stickers?
Yeah, so it needs to make sense. That was my rule. Like if it doesn't make sense to have something moving, then it doesn't. So for the expectations, nothing's moving. If it's something that's going to be up on screen for a long time, nothing's moving. But if it's something where it's needs to catch their eye for like a little redirect, that's when I put in the animation. So a lot of the content support ones where you're trying to really redirect someone. So copy and paste, or I'm looking for, or like there's look for. So I would have used that one a lot when I'm just trying to help kids. Like, here's the main point that I want you to be kind of looking for if you're reading something or things like that. And so it just has the little eyes going back and forth, or you're on track. It looks like a little dashed line kind of moving across the page. The learning target or the objective, like an animated little target for them, which should be, you know, that should be an important piece to start out class with too. But then you think about when you're being observed and the one question that they decide to ask the student that doesn't pay attention ever. It's like, hey, what's your learning goal for today? Well, that should be a lot easier to find now to have that in there, or just kind of redirect them back to what they're doing. Vocabulary, prioritize has, it just describes kind of what that is. So the I is three little dots where they, and it just checks off as it goes down. So I just wanted to reinforce the idea of it. There's also flashing lights, like a red light kind of going on and off, green and yellow. And so thinking about ways that you can use that in class, like I would have probably used that for labeling, like mark which statement is true or false, or, you know, ideas that you love or ideas that are a maybe for you or whatever, using those to allow like some drag and drop activities and slides and things like that. So just thinking about ways to reinforce what the idea is of what you're trying to get someone to do or to accomplish, and how you can use an animation to communicate that visually.
It's great how much thought went into designing each one so that it's an appropriate animation. I love the look for. That's something I would have used. I was mostly language arts. So we were always going back and forth between the text and the question and the text and the question. So I like that there's that animation. And also just like, I was thinking even just like the arrow to go back to like, oh, this is where you're writing, because like you have a long document with a prompt or something. And where am I typing my answer?
So I have a little type here sticker that would go into wherever you want them to type. And it has the blinking cursor and then like a little arrow, and it doesn't move very often, but it's just enough to kind of catch your eye. But stuff like that matters. Back to websites and apps, they have those fields already, like they're a different color or they have something pre-populated in there. And, you know, doing that in every single student material, that's going to take a ton of time, but at least having something in there that students can learn to look for, like after 2 weeks of using that, they are going to be so fast in figuring out exactly where that they put in their answer. And again, that can be the hurdle that stops them from completing classwork that day. It's like, I didn't know where to type. But like, that sounds insane as an adult, but for a 12-year-old, that makes perfect sense sometimes. I didn't know where to type, so I didn't do my classwork today.
And I've heard students say that.
Yeah.
So instead of my like co-teaching classes, they were like, I don't know where to put my answer.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I know.
Anywhere I know. Else in the document.
But like, I can't make your brain function a different way because you are 12. And so I cannot fix this problem. It just has to happen with time. But what I can do is be really loud about where you type.
About where exactly to put it. There you go. There's the giant, there's the graphic for you.
I've done it all.
I love that. So what have been some of the, I know it's very early on, but you have a lot of users and that you're still getting some of that feedback from teachers as they're using it. But overall, just what do you think are some of the benefits of teachers in starting to use Stickity in their classrooms and their instructional lesson designs?
Yeah. I mean, aside from just the fact that you're creating materials that are easier to use for all students, but thinking about, you know, selfishly how it's going to impact a teacher is it's going to save some time. One, you're saving time by creating materials like just by clicking, right? It just automatically inserts everything in there that you would want or need. But then two, it saves you time in class where really every minute counts. Like if you think about the amount of times that you have to stop and reset and recommunicate what the expectations are and things like that, imagine if even 50% of that was taken away by being very clear about your expectations in class that day. So that's going to be a huge benefit. I found when I was just using my own icons and my own graphics before I created this, that it was beneficial in the way that I planned a class. Like if I noticed that I was using a silent icon a lot, I would go through and find some opportunities for students to talk to each other because we both taught middle school and we know, and it's not just middle school, but it's, you know, if it's too silent for too long, then now you just have antsy kids.
Yeah.
So giving them opportunities to talk and collaborate with one another, that's just good teaching too. And so I would catch myself using that silent icon too much and then would go in and kind of rethink about how I wanted them to complete that particular activity. So it was helpful to me in just creating experiences for kids where they looked forward to my class and wanted to be there and felt successful and were able to work together and build those key skills of just working with groups and neighbors and all of that stuff where like, I think I would just jump to the easy spot of having them do it silently and independently sometimes because I knew I could avoid some classroom management stuff, but those icons allowed me to see like, that's not going to be a fun class for kids. And so I had this holistic view of how I was doing that. It also would prompt me to think about how I was supporting everyone. So if I was using the speech to text reminder, that would just kind of help me craft a lesson that was accessible for everybody. And I taught 450 kids a week. So I taught everyone in the school. It was mandatory to take computer science, which I loved. And like, I think every school should function that way where everyone has to take computer science, but it also meant that I had a wide range of students that I needed to support. And I was still an elective. So there was no like push in or anything like that. I was doing a lot of the supporting through materials. And so just that alone is a benefit of being able to feel like you are truly providing an accessible experience for all kids. So I refuse to believe that teachers don't want to do that. You know, there's just a lot of hurdles in being able to do that well.
I definitely agree. Deep down in their heart, everybody wants to make sure everything's accessible and that there are no barriers, but it's just that it's adding on top of everything else they're doing when they're planning. So I appreciate the fact that this takes away some of the obstacle for them in integrating it and makes them more likely to have those accessible classroom.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to make it easier.
And I appreciate the fact too, that it's you were using it as a reflection tool. Cause that's totally how I could have seen myself using it too. Where can I build in collaboration with them to work in groups because they want to talk to their friends anyway, where can that authentically be built in? So I like that that's an option too.
It was easy to get a visual glimpse of what my class was going to be that way.
And that's really helpful. Now I kind of wish I was like back in a classroom because I would have loved to use this with my students.
You can use it for a staff meeting.
Yeah.
You can use it for whatever you want. Teachers need to know when they can talk to their neighbors too.
That's true. I have some like 90-minute workshops coming up and I'm like, this is great because it'll model it and then they can see that it's a free tool they can then use in their classroom too.
Yes. And this will always be free. Everything here will always stay free.
That's amazing because so many things like start free and then they go to a paid subscription model. So I appreciate the fact that it's a free resource in something they're already using. It's openly available.
I'm working on creating a premium version for districts to use, but I just want, that's going to build on what this already is rather than take away.
That's perfect. I think that's a great way of looking at it. I'm going to make sure to include the link to the Google Marketplace where you can download Stickity for both docs and slides so that anybody listening can check it out and should check it out because it's definitely worth looking at and using in your classroom. But it sounds like so far there's a lot of people using it, which is great. And hopefully we'll get to hear some of the ways that teachers have been using it with their learners. So I just want to thank you so much, Lauren, for being here with us today and telling us all about Stickity and how it's helped learners.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored to be part of your podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.